Italian Wine Podcast. Chin Chin with Italian Wine People.
Before the show, here is a shout out to our new sponsor, Ferro Wine. Ferro Wine has been the largest wine shop in Italy since 1920. They have generously supplied us with our new t-shirt. Would you like one? Just donate 50 euros and it's all yours. Plus, we'll throw in our new book, Jumbo Shrimp Guide to International Grape Varieties in Italy. For more info, go to italianwinepodcast.com and click donate. Or check out Italian Wine Podcast on Instagram.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast with me, Monty Walden. My guest today is Elisa Di Lavanzo from the Maeli Winery in the Colli Uganei in the Veneto region of Italy, correct?
Correct, Monty. Hi, everybody.
Tell us who you are and why did you create your own winery?
Okay, so me, I'm an owner of this beautiful boutique winery, which is Maeli, and which is located in the earth of Euganean Hills, an ancient volcanic territory, 1 hour drive from Venice. We own 24 hectares of vineyards in two different sites. One is named Le Terre Bianche del Pirio, the Pirio White Lands, in the northern part of Euganean Hills, where we grow yellow muscat, and the other site is in Baone, near the winery, where we grow Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Carmenère as well.
What do the volcanic soils give to the wines?
Volcanic soil is really important in terms of minerality, and I can tell you that we are very lucky in the Euganean Hills. Euganean Hills take the form of a crest of 80 volcanic hills generated by two cycles of volcanic phenomena that took place about 30 million years ago, when the region was the bottom of a warm, shallow sea. The lavas erupted from the volcanoes were very dense and quickly cooled, thanks to the water that covered the volcanoes, acquiring the typical cone shape. And these volcanic phenomena raised and split the seabed, made up of limestone and marl deposits. The great wealth of soil of Euganean Hills evolved from the disintegration of the various effusive and sedimentary rock. So the wines coming from this soil is, as I mentioned before, rich in minerality. There is a feeling of salinity, sometimes very high. There is a kind of bitterness that you can recognize, especially in the end. The final is that there is a kind of bitterness. But for sure, you can recognize also the volcanic wine on the nose because there is a flint. The perfumes are really linked to the air.
Is it almost the aroma also a little bit smoky or not?
It is, for sure, it is.
What about, how easy is the viticulture for the different vineyards? Volcanic soils can be quite fertile. Do you have issues with overproductivity or overvigor, excess vigor?
The richness of Euganean Hills territory is not just in the soil, but we have also a different, particular climate, which is very different from one side to another one of the hills. And we have a lot, we have plenty of woods. And you know, the woods are very important for three regions. For example, the first one, they can make a kind of a climate regulation, and they can protect from erosion and landslides, and they can allow the presence of very good insects. They are useful to maintain the biodiversity in the vineyard. And then, you know, the Euganean Hills are near the Adriatic Sea, and also the presence of the sea is very important because it mitigates the temperature. Then we have also the rainfall, which guarantees a sufficient supply of water, and also the atmospheric humidity is on average high. Those elements, those factors, all those factors allow the development of sustainable viticulture with an excellent balance within the vineyards. That's why we turn to biological viticulture. And it makes sense in Dugana Hills because we are inside a regional park. So it means that flora, the vegetation and the fauna are protected. And for sure, this is important also for the vineyards.
So when was your first vintage with full organic certification?
It will be 2020. Yes, we got the certification just 15 days ago. Yeah, so I'm very, very happy about this. But we turned to biological viticulture in 2017. To say the truth, there is not a big difference between now and before 2017 because our approach to the viticulture has always been the same, very respectful for nature, for the environment. And that's why in the vineyards we have for sure an agronomist, but also the team is made of agronomists on one hand, and then we have an entomologist, she's a girl studying insects, and a botanic, who is a guy studying herbs, plants, and they work together to keep the balance in the vineyards, to preserve the biodiversity of the vineyard and the vitality of the soil as well.
So between the rows, are you letting native vegetation grow and then you roll it or you mow it, or are you sowing sauvetti cover crops?
Also, which is important is to maintain the, how to say, the herbs.
Organic matter.
Of course, because, you know, the Ugandan hills is like the, sometimes it's similar to Sicily about the climate. It's very, very hot. And we have two big problems in Ugandan hills, the dryness and we don't have any water. And the water that we have at the underground is very hot because we have the terms, le terme, hot spring underground, and we cannot use that kind of water. So it's very important, herbs, because you can keep maintain the hydration of the soil. That's why we don't use to cut the herbs between the vines.
Oh, so basically, by leaving the native vegetation, it's a way of helping the vines not get too vigorous.
Yes.
There's competition. So tell us about the wines you make.
Okay, the production is actually very focused on yellow muscat grape. From this vine, we used to make 5 different versions of yellow muscat. So we produce a kind of a sweet wine, sparkling sweet wine, rancy wine, the passito. We have a still and dry white wine, and then we have the ancestral method, which is kind of a pet nut, a wine which re-ferments in the bottle thanks to the indigenous yeast. And then we have a classic method, the Brut Nature, which is really particular. It is the only one in the world. I'm not talking about white muscat because I see that in Piedmont they make a kind of Brut, but this is a yellow muscat. This is from volcanic soil. This is a Brut Nature, so very, very particular.
So you're talking about the muscat à petit grain.
It's not muscat à petit grain because that one is white muscat. Yellow muscat is a particular moscato.
A moscato giallo.
Yes, moscato giallo, of course. And I think the challenge of Maeli is just to celebrate, to express the potential of this grape, which is so different from any kind of moscato, generic moscato in the world. Because in the Ugandan hills, we have such a particular territory in terms of soil and climate and biodiversity. And so the wines coming from here, and so also the yellow muscat, they can refine in the time. They are elegant, and also they have a lot of longevity, which is not so common speaking about yellow muscat.
So what about matching food with the various whites that you make? Any tips?
We push a lot. So what is an unusual matching and pairing with the yellow muscat in the sparkling sweet version. Just to tell you an example, Fior d'Arancio, which is the sparkling sweet wine, is not just a dessert wine, but it can be an aperitif wine. That's why we used to match the sparkling sweet wine to different kind of food, such as goat cheese and salumi like lardo or mortadella. But it's amazing with Asian food. That's why the Fior d'Arancio is very successful in China, for example. The yellow muscat in the still and dry version is perfect with vegetable in general, for example, asparagus, and is very linked to the seasonal cuisine. It goes well with stockfish, is perfect with white meats, and the ancestral, the pet nut, is very beautiful, is gourmet pizza is perfect when you are with your friend. Is the wine of the conviviality, because is that kind of wine that can meet also people who doesn't like too much the wine. You know, there are people who prefer beers, and this kind of wine, because it has the yeast inside, sometimes remind to some artisanal beer. So it's very easy to drink.
What about two questions about the Petillon Naturel, the Pet Nat? Is how cloudy is it, and what is a good food match for it?
Yeah, it's cloudy because of the presence of the yeasts, and in my opinion, is a very easy to drink. And my favorite pairing is with pizza gourmet, which is not that with any pizza, but the pizza that made with a very high quality corn and bufala and other ingredients, pans on which kind of pizza. And salumi, for sure, it's okay. I think that is very, very easy to drink with your friends, no matter at all.
Did you, when you were small, did you have a sweet tooth? We say, did you like sweets or chocolate or things like that when you're... Now that you're making some wines that have got some sweetness.
Yes.
We always think with Muscat, it's going to be a sweet wine.
For sure, it's also a sweet wine. That's why you can for sure match to kind of biscuits or cheese or some cakes. But in my opinion, it's more interesting match to salty food. For sure, if I have chocolate, I will pair with, I will match Pasito, the Renzi wine, which is sweet for sure, but with a very high level of acidity. And that's why we love it so much, because it's not too much sweet, like the sparkling sweet. I think there are very interesting balance between the sweetness and the the acidity and the minerality as well.
Final question, just a little bit more about markets for your wine outside of Italy.
Okay, the first market for us is USA, because it's very big, it's very wide. And then we have also Canada. China is growing faster as a market. Then we export in Mexico, in Guatemala, in the north of Europe. France is a big fan of yellow muscat. They go crazy for the sparkling sweet. And they used to match that kind of wine to the soup d'oignon. So it's very amazing. And then Germany, and then Romania and Croatia. Yeah, those countries.
Okay. All right, Elisa, listen, really nice to talk to you. I hope to come and see you in the Colli Euganei at some stage and have a little look at your vines on those volcanic soils. Take care.
Yes, I hope to see you soon in Euganei. Always welcome. Thank you, Monty. Thank you.
Thanks, Elisa. Ciao.
Ciao.
listen to the Italian Wine Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Himalaya FM, and more. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through italianwinepodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. Until next time, cin cin.